It's Zach Wilson's time again, isn't it?
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a red alert.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Zach Wilson looking lost, like my 10-year-old trying to solve a problem put forth by Professor Oppenheimer. That's the way it looks sometimes for him operating this offense.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Coming up, Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Sapp. ESPN NFL analyst Lewis Riddick. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Warren Sapp getting to his Zoom computer as we speak. Sir Sapp going to be joining us shortly here on this program, the Pro Football Hall of Famer, who on Friday, Dion said he intends to make his future defensive line coach in Colorado. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Phone lines are lit. We'll take your phone calls. I've got my top five performers of week two coming up on this show. Lewis Riddick, fresh back from Carolina. He called the Saints versus the Panthers on Monday night. And hey, you know, the New Orleans Saints, I honestly don't know what to make of them. Here's what I make of them. And that's all that matters.
They're 2-0.
They're 2-0.
That's right. You are what your record is.
And Derek Carr, you know, he didn't light it up against Tennessee, but I don't know how many teams are going to. Although, I guess Justin Herbert threw for over 300 yards against him. But that defense, man, you tell me, guys, in the last 5-10 years, or I guess since Cam Jordan's been playing, let's put it that way, what has been the most underrated defensive unit that puts the bang thing on people with consistency, right?
Don't you think? No one ever talks about them.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Because we're talking about the Cowboys defense and the Niners defense, and then you talk about, I guess, what the Chiefs defense did, Steelers defense, what they just did on Monday night. And I don't know why I thought differently. I just thought Carolina at home is just going to try and do something special. But then as soon as I saw a couple, I texted the game day morning group. I don't care. I'll throw him out there. I texted the game day morning group at the outset of the Monday night football game between Carolina and the Saints. I'm like, am I lone wolfing the Panthers? And I got a text back from Luke Lesourd, our producer. He wrote, yes, you are. And Mooch wrote back one word, idiot. Idiot is what Mooch wrote back.
Aggressive.
Very. Certainly for Mooch. And I saw the way Bryce Young was struggling. And I thought to myself, yeah, idiot. That there's no way Cam Jordan and these other prideful defenders with the Florida Lee on the side of their helmet would ever let a rookie quarterback beat them. Despite it being a Monday night at home and his home debut, his parents there and all that sort of stuff, he did on occasion just hold the ball way too long. And the Saints, they've got some playmakers, man. Michael Thomas looked, I'm going higher register with him, but he looked like the can't guard Mike.
He did.
Yeah.
Olave. Making that catch.
Kind of tipped to himself. Yeah. So nice.
With his one arm being held.
Yeah, smooth.
Raheed Shaheed, everybody.
One deep ball game for him.
And the one from last night wrapped it. Taysom Hill. Taysom it is still doing his thing. Yeah, yeah. And so Alvin Kamara is coming back in 2 weeks. And then you look at the Saints moving on from here. What a huge game in week three. Jordan Love's home debut. For the right to go 3-0 or for the Packers to go 2-1. And then New Orleans is home for Tampa. Baker Mayfield coming into that house. Oh, man. At New England, at Houston, and then a Thursday night against Jacksonville. These are some winnable games, folks. These are some winnable games. And so the Saints, Derek Carr, 2-0. The run game isn't even where it needs to be yet, or because Kamara's coming back. Michael Thomas looks him and Olave doing their thing. And defensively, man, they just put the bang thing on Bryce Young and looked him in the face and said, you, sir, are not in the SEC anymore. And dropped a house on him like he was the Wicked Witch. Boom.
Yeah.
So, good for the Saints, man. They're 2-0.
Mm-hmm.
Joining us here now on the Rich Eisen Show, as promised, my Pro Football Hall of Fame friend, number 9 in your program, number 1 in your heart. He is hashtag zooming and not fishing right now. He is Warren Sapp. How are you, Warren?
That's 2 9s, Rich. Number 99 in your program.
Yeah,
number 1 in your heart.
Right.
I am wonderful.
Number 99.
Yeah, you said 9.
Did I say
you
only 9? Nine? Did I only
you
say 9?
You said
what
9.
What the
one
heck?
One.
Wow.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
All right. I
left
stand
a nine.
Corrected.
You left a 9 off, Rich.
Hey, you wouldn't wear a single number these days, would you, if you were playing?
Not even close. That don't fit a big man. I'm so disgusted with them single-digit D linemen in college, and then they show up with 0 on in the NFL now. Are you kidding me?
Why does that disgust you? Wouldn't it slim you down? Wouldn't it slim you?
No, because when I went to Raiders, I almost asked the indestructible one right here over my shoulder for his 00. And I thought about it. I said, nah, so if you go in a game and you come out with no tackles, no sacks, they be talking about, boy, you just took the money and gave us your number, and you're going to be 00. You know what I'm saying? You can't give no elbow, Rich. You can't give no elbow.
So let me just jump into this fray here with you, Warren Sapp. The conversation is red hot right now that Minkah Fitzpatrick is a helmet to the knee of Nick Chubb last night was a dirty play. Would you say that was a dirty play by Minkah Fitzpatrick?
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. The dirty play was the play in the Colorado State, Colorado game.
Mm-hmm.
That was the dirty play. That was the definition of targeting someone when he hit Travis Hunter and lacerated his liver. Are you kidding me, Rich? That was dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Minkah Fitzpatrick was just tackling a monster of a back, as Mike Tomlin calls him, Mr. Chubb.
Mm-hmm. So you don't believe that was Minkah didn't see what he hit? I mean, you're hearing many on the old X machine, right? I'm serious. Like, you know, look.
Come
up,
on, the X machine's a cesspool. Come on, you know better. Minkah Fitzpatrick is a delightful safety in the National Football League that makes good plays for his football team. He was just tackling a man on the goal line. You can't tell me he purposely went down and hit him in the knee and did him dirt. Come on, no. And it ain't like we saw a replay.
Yeah, I know, because it was so ugly. It was so ugly, man. And
I'm sure it was. I mean, but we all saw Joe Theismann, you know, break his leg with Lawrence Taylor.
Different times.
We all saw Dennis Byrd get paralyzed on Thanksgiving. I mean, we can't be that sensitive in a game where it's a contact sport.
Warren Sapp, Pro Football Hall of Famer here on the Rich Eisen Show. What do you make of Micah Parsons, Warren?
Oh, Rich, you know I love when you go hunt that quarterback. And the way the Cowboys are doing it with him, it's something unique. I've never seen that before. Just they're running game after game after game with him, and he's coming home. So I take my hat off to the D-line, you know, coach or the pass rush coordinator, whoever they got going, because they got something nice going right now.
Well, and I love watching your film study on your Instagram feed at Warren Sapp. It is a lot of fun. Certainly just your commentary is laugh out loud hilarious, along with obviously the intelligent X's and O's. So walk me through what you are seeing that Dan Quinn is doing with Micah Parsons and why they're able to do it, Warren.
I'm telling you, Rich, they're putting him in different spots. And when you put him in different spots, now you can't really hone in because DeLawrence is still there, and the other fellas there rushing too. They're rushing as a pack. That's the biggest thing. You know, I always say the lone wolf dies alone, and that's why we howl like we howl, because the lone wolf normally don't get there. But when you come as a pack, as the Cowboys are coming, the quarterbacks go down, and you get them in bunches. And they are getting them in bunches right now. And even more than that, the offense is scoring for them, and they got to lead. When you got to lead like that, you got to chase them. When you got to chase them, you expose your quarterback.
So where do you stand on the current conversation in the Cowboys for real, or they just tormented two New York quarterbacks that had bad days or are more prone to be tormented? Where do you stand on that
subject? Well, the Giants didn't put on their pads the whole week before they met the Cowboys, and then the Jets looked at their quarterback like, here we go again. That's what I saw. Because you telling me Sauce Gardner can't pick that ball off and take it to the house?
Mm-hmm.
You got to make all those plays. You got to make those plays. That's the whole key when your quarterback is not a four-time MVP and a Super Bowl champion and a future first ballot Hall of Famer. You got to make those plays. You got to do a little more. You got to turn it up. Trust me, I played with Sean King and Trent Dilfer. You got to turn it up. When your quarterback a little deficit at the quarterback position,
yeah.
Every other position has to turn it up.
So you pin a little bit of what happened in Dallas on the defense, not on what
absolutely.
The offense did?
So, listen. I saw a stat, Richard. I think they turned it around. I saw 31 of 28 with Dak Prescott. I said it had to be 28 of 31.
Right.
I said, I don't think we got new math going on. But if the opposing quarterback has three incompletions,
mm-hmm.
what happened to the cue ball up the middle that rushes and, you know, 99 on the left side and, you know, this vaunted defense that they were telling me going to look like the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens or the Tampa 2 that we played down in Tampa? No. I saw something.
And I know what you've said, because I listened to you when you talk, Warren Sapp.
Thank you.
You know, over the years that we've known each other. Walk me through the people who you will not let teammates mess with in your locker room. Walk me through that.
My coach, my quarterback, and my kicker.
Correct. So what would you be counseling right now if you were strolling through the Jets locker room, getting ready for Belichick, who has personally tormented Zach Wilson? What would you be doing right now?
The thing I would do is I'd go to cue ball, Sauce, and the rest of those defenders, because Mac Jones is just as bad as White. And he has less weapons. And we talk bad about Nathaniel Hackett as a head coach. But as a play caller, you got to bend this thing, because that's not Aaron Rodgers in the backfield. That's not Aaron Rodgers taking a snap. You got to bend this offense to fit this young man, Wilson. And then that defense, let's go, man. You got Mac Jones. Come on.
So you'd be so you would talk to the OC. You'd go up to Hackett and say, what's up? You'd say something to him?
Oh, Hack. Baby, that ain't Aaron Rodgers in the backfield. That ain't Aaron Rodgers letting it go. That ain't Aaron Rodgers reading it, pre-snap read. That ain't Aaron Rodgers checking. So let's back off the checks. Let's give him plays that he's more than comfortable with, and let's roll. We're going to punt and play defense, and we're going to play buck ball. That's what because that's what I know, Rich. I'm going to play field position. I ain't going to turn it over. And then I'm going to ask you to earn every yard you have against this defense that all 11 of us going to say not today. I don't give a damn who you got at quarterback. Steve Young, Jerry Rice, Randy Moss, Chris Carter in the slot, Andre Reed in the slot. I don't care. Give me and 10 other brothers today that say not today. And I've seen it shut down.
Warren Sapp, Pro Football Hall of Famer, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk buckball. How about Baker Mayfield showing up as the stiff arm and waking up dangerous flag planting quarterback here?
300-yard game, his first one since he was in Cleveland. I loved it. Mike Evans showed up. But more than that, Rich, I look on the other side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a little concerned with Shaq, because you know how he is about our kids. There's nothing greater on this earth than our little ones.
Right.
And when you lose your little one in that situation, I watched the Minnesota game and I watched him slither out of a almost cracked block and whatever. And I made a video. I didn't put it up because, you know, Buck fans always, when I be all around the league, they be like, why you ain't watching our Bucks? I be like, yo, I made the Buck video. The front and the back end is working together, yes. Rich. And my linebackers in the middle are talking to each other. It almost blew my mind. I said, boy, we got action. We got action. Shaq is on a mission. Logan is throwing people around inside. Big Vita Vega is running on the screen. He realized he's not a pass rusher. If they let you go, big fella, turn and chase the running back, please. And he's got it. So here we go. We 2-0 right now, and I hear you talking about them Saints, but I don't see it.
Well, you're going to see it. And what is
well,
that?
Well, Atlanta's 2-0 too. I mean, we got everything going to the South but the rookie.
That's right. I know. And that's, you're going to see it in week 4. New Orleans for Tampa.
Not running. Hey, we got the Eagles this week on Monday night.
Right.
We're going to pluck them, and then we're going to look for whoever coming around here.
Warren Sapp here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's get into the main event. And you know what I'm referring to, because we are paying rent in his world right now. The story in sports, you just put the Colorado Buffalo hat on. You know exactly where I am going. What is Deion cooking? You have seen it firsthand. You have been there. He has brought you in many ways, Warren. What are you seeing that he's doing? What do you got for me?
On concrete, Rich. That's the beautiful thing about Deion. And you know him like I do.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing phony, flaw about it. What you see is what you get. Like his shirt say, I ain't hard to find. And to know the man and love the man as me and you do, I see him loving on them kids, Rich. I see him challenging them kids, Rich. I see him putting something before them that is going to be life-changing. And, you know, generational wealth is what I call it, what they're giving away at the NFL level now. And if you have a coach that's going to love on you, teach you, bond with you, I'm going to put you part of the family. You know, Rich, there's nothing like that brotherhood. And when you join that brotherhood, it's for life until you kick yourself out. And that's what Deion is giving them, that brotherhood, that love, that me, him, Mike, Marshall, Michael, and Kurt. You know how we all came together. And yeah. You're like, do they live together? You know, we laugh and joke because that's the bond that you create mm-hmm. with the work that you do in this game. And that's what Prime is giving them right now. Well, he's giving them direction, leadership. And you know what? He's meeting them halfway, Rich.
What do you mean?
When I went to TCU, you know, because I saw it the whole week. I went home, packed the bag. I told Prime, I'm coming. Give me a hotel room, whatever. I pay for it, whatever. Ah, I got you, baby. Lock you up. I go through Dallas. And I go with him, walk up in the locker room. And the DJ shows up, Rich. A full-fledged DJ booth in the stage. And it kind of shook me to my core because if you know me, I hate music at practice. Because me, Brooks, and Lynch, we got to talk. Mm-hmm. If it's a quiet defense, it's a dumb defense because we don't know somebody's scared to say something. That's how it is. My bad. I always get you one.
Okay.
I know my dog over there in the corner with the rock over there looking crazy right now. I know you over there, guy. I know you. I'm good.
It's so, yeah, right. Yeah.
We get to, oh, man. You just threw me all away.
No,
off.
He said the DJ.
DJ, yeah. Dog. So I'm like, these kids gonna be in here dancing and jumping around, not focused on the task at hand. We're a couple hours before the game. Man, the DJ came on. These kids had their headphones in or whatever. I think I was the only one worried about the DJ. They was in there getting their socks and in their notes and stuff. And I just looked around and I said, it's like elevator music. They ain't even hearing it.
Mm.
It's just on. And that's what gave me even more confidence. I say, they ready to ball. And you know, grown, you know, that's what Prime calls Fedora. Come on. I've watched that kid since day one. There's nothing that's going to rattle him.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask you the specifics of what he's doing differently, because as you said, brotherhood and making everybody feel part of a family, that in many ways is coaching 101. It can actually translate or transport different generations. But this generation and his ability to connect with this generation in this group of men that he's put together, pretty much handpicked over the span of about 2 months, 3 months, and put together. I was going to ask you what the difference is, and then you mentioned DJ. But he is also saying stuff. He's talking openly of Heisman's. He's talking openly of things that other coaches wouldn't want to mention because it would fill their kids' heads. Right. You know, like.
And you promised this recruit that's coming in a whole bunch of other stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're throwing money at these kids and doing different things. What Prime is telling them, here's an opportunity for you to join a movement and something special.
Mm-hmm.
Will you join us? Are you my kind of kid that loves the game? What's your motivation here? Is it your mama? Is it putting her on Easy Street? Is it a dad that was on drugs or something that you want to pull along? Whatever it is, I need to know it's something tangible that you are invested in. And when you do that, dog, man, that's something more than, I want you to come play for my football team. I think you can start here. I think we can win a national championship or a conference championship together. He's investing in the men, in their family, in their lives. And that's what I love about him because, oh, man, the brother's just so genuine and the love he gets you. It's unadulterated.
Well, it seems, Warren, that he wants to invest in you. I don't know if you caught this when Prime was on this show on Friday. This is what he had to say. No, this is what he had to say when I brought up the subject of you and Irv being at the some practices. This is what he said. You think Sapp's going to be on your staff at some point, Deion?
I do. I really do. And I want him to be.
I love that. I can't
but
wait.
But it's different. It's different, Rich. You know, you got guys like that, the only reason they won't go into coaching because of the time, you know, allocated. I don't need all that. Like, I know him. I know what I need. You don't need to come here and sit around all day. Come in the morning. We practice at 9. We're on the field at 9. Get those kids ready in the morning meetings. Work your butt off on the field. After, watch film with them, go home. You're home by noon. I don't need you here all day like that. I'm not that type of coach. I don't need it. Don't take all that. But that's, I think, more NFL athletes that has really done it and been successful. If they had those type of schedules and understanding, they would do it.
So hashtag in the morning, SAP coaching, hashtag in the afternoon, SAP fishing is what you're saying. That actually can happen.
Fishing. Okay. SAP fishing.
What do you think, Warren?
Hey, listen, what did I tell you I was going to do? Before we had this conversation, before I showed up at Boulder, before I went to Fort Worth with him to TCU, what did I tell you? I'm going to go get my degree, and I'm going to ask Prime for a spot on his staff. Did I not?
Yes.
I got my transcript. I'm starting the process, Rich.
Okay.
Them kids, you know what? For the first time in my life, I was loved on by some defensive linemen, and they wanted to know, you know, like the keys to the vault. And I've never had somebody shake my pockets like that and ask for keys to the vault. I mean, Gerald McCoy did, but Gerald didn't shake my pockets. He asked for the keys to the vault, but he didn't shake my pockets. I had 5-6 young men around me, Rich, that was basically ready to strip search me. Like, I know that there's a key in here somewhere that you're going to give me for this. And they're willing to work. And they infected me. They really infected me. And I told Prime before I left, I said, I'm coming back. He said, I got a spot for you. I don't need you over here at 2 in the morning. And when he told me that, then I knew I had an understanding with my head man, because I've always said I would love to do it, but I need a head coach that understands. After 9 o'clock, and Rachel Maddow, I'm going to bed.
Sapp and Rachel Maddow, words that I never thought we would hear. Warren?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right. I
yes,
knew
sir,
that. Rich. I knew that. Okay.
You know, me and Rachel can go fishing. You know about that, right?
Warren Sapp, Warren Carlos Sapp, you are one of
yes,
one.
Sir.
So what, 2024 Colorado Buffalo staff? Is that your target date? Is that what that would be for you?
Yeah, I want to be there next year. I want to be there next year. I'm going to get everything, the paperwork, and I'm going to go to work. Because sitting on my couch watching tape, making Sapp in the lab, I'm going to go Sapp in the class.
Sounds great.
I'm going to Sapp online. I'm going to go get this degree. And then we're going to go out and teach these kids these 5 steps to the quarterback, because I know something about this game. When you have a quarterback like Shador, and if my D-line will go hunt the other quarterback, our chances of winning just went through the roof.
Yeah. I wish Hunter was healthy for this next two-game stretch, though.
Oh, man. You know what, dude? Why didn't they throw that kid out of the game? That's all I want to know.
I don't know. Unfortunately, it
wasn't even reviewed as targeting.
I know.
It's the very definition of targeting.
I'm with you. Unfortunately, that kid apparently is a victim of death threats in his family, too, which is nuts.
No, stop that.
I know.
Stop that now. Stop
I know.
That.
I agree.
Stop that now. I don't condone no violence, but when we're in a 60-minute game,
I know,
and we got 8 guys out there with, you know, the zebras on, somebody's supposed to be able to look at that and say, hold up, man.
I'm with you.
We review everything else.
Warren, thanks for the time. Love you.
Anytime.
Thanks for the time.
Anywhere.
Right back at you. Look at that.
Go Buffs.
Colorado's
looking,
own.
Yeah, looking good.
Warren Sapp, everyone, again, on Instagram. Check him out at Warren Sapp for all of his great, as he said, Sapp in the Lab videos. That's right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll talk Steelers and more of your phone calls when we come back. Lewis Riddick, who is on the mic in Colorado for that game that Warren was talking about. He's joining us hour 3.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook. On October 5th, Loki is back in a brand new season.
Reunited. That's right.
The countdown is on.
I've been waiting. Don't miss the return of Marvel's most watched Disney Plus show.
Loki.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
His time is running out.
You the hero!
Marvel Studios Loki Season 2. New episodes streaming October 5th, only on Disney Plus.
What is it like when you're back there? You know you're going to get it.
Yeah.
The 8 in the box or 9 in the box yeah. that you see knows you're going to get it.
Yeah.
And you know you're going to give it to them.
Yeah.
And they know you're going to give it to them. What is that like for you?
I just love the game. I love having the ball in my hands, and I love making plays. And I don't know. It's just the game, man. Like, that feeling when everybody knows and they can't stop it, it's an indescribable feeling, man. And that's just speaking for, like, us as a team. And, you know, I just love the game.
Yeah, I know you're smiling. You're just smiling as you're saying this. It is just, it must be an amazing feeling.
It's a lot of fun.
To have that ability. Derrick Henry here on the Rich Eisen Show. Did you hear what Earl Thomas said before the divisional playoff game in Baltimore, saying that the Patriots didn't want to tackle you, but they were going to have a different
approach? Oh, yeah, I seen it everywhere. Everybody was sending it to me. Everybody was showing it to me. Yeah, I seen it everywhere.
Okay, so now later on, you're in Baltimore. You get the ball. You're on the edge. Did you know that was Earl Thomas that
yes,
was coming for
definitely
you?
Definitely knew that was Earl Thomas.
Did you give him a second shove because it was Earl Thomas?
Yes.
I was wondering. Because yes. you gave him one in the front, and you gave him one slightly unnecessary one in the back.
But what's so funny about that is I was so focused on giving him another shove that I ran myself out of bounds. So I remember the first time he kind of turned around,
yeah,
and I could have turned up Phil, but I was so focused on this, like, giving him a shove that I ran myself out of bounds. But yeah, I definitely did that because of that.
So then the last question is, was it worth it to run yourself out of bounds?
I think it was, yeah.
Fun stuff on our YouTube archive. Just be careful. Leave yourself some time. You might go down a wormhole on youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. The Roku channel feed. We're one happy family with the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network right now. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Great stuff with SAP. I was just saying in the commercial break, it's just wild that my NFL game day morning family, you know, or NFL game day family, Dion, Warren, Michael Irvin, they're all at the center of the biggest story in sports right now, which is Dion at 3-0, and obviously what happens in Oregon this coming weekend, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. It's a Joe Test game, apparently. That's the game of the day, and there are multiple top 20 and top 25
games.
Thank
you, Rich, for saying that, because I'm mixing a top 20.
Multiple.
You don't even know
such games.
Damn.
And Colorado, Oregon. God bless the Pac-12. Yeah. Just in time for them to break up. Everybody's just keenly interested in what's happening out here. All of a sudden, it's not the sleepy Pacific time zone or mountain time zone anymore, is it? Good gosh. Oof.
Just in that 3:30 Eastern window is Oregon, Colorado, UCLA, Utah, Ole Miss, Alabama, who's not in the top 10 for the first time in like a decade.
Yeah. Let's go back. Oh, hell. Okay.
Oh.
Chris in Hanoi, Vietnam, joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Do I say good morning, Vietnam, right now, Chris? Do I do that?
Thanks for taking my call, Rich. No. Well, yes, technically you do. It's 12:30
okay.
a.m.
Good
right
morning,
now.
Vietnam.
yeah, I wanted to just call in. I'm not able to watch your show on Roku because my VPN can't seem to get it to work right, and Roku doesn't have service here.
We got to get on it, Chris. We'll get on it for
unfortunate, but well, I
thank you.
Your YouTube clips, as you referenced the archive,
thank
great,
you.
Great
thank
bit with the King just before you came to this segment.
Yes, King Henry, yes.
And watching the YouTube clips before the season, I noticed that you had segments where you all picked the divisions throughout, for the forthcoming season.
Yes, sir.
And I noticed that there isn't the AFC South division posted. I'm not trying to throw any media people under the bus or anything. I think I know why that is, that video isn't posted. It's because you probably all picked the Jaguars to win the division.
Okay. I don't know. Usually I don't know. I can look into that for you, Chris, but yes, I'll just tell you right now. We did all choose Jacksonville.
I think it's a safe assumption.
So are you a Titan fan sitting in Hanoi right now, ready to chop it up on that subject matter? Is that what you're saying right now?
Yes. Well, chop it up, I just wanted to, there's an often used movie line or movie title that I won't reference, but I'll just say, do not forget to remember the Titans, because, everything that's been said about Jacksonville, they won the division last year. They went and made a playoff run, basically, by having the Chargers collapse on them. But what most people don't realize is the Titans were historically injured through most of last year, in particular during that big stretch of losses. And Jacksonville didn't really show anything yet to deserve all this attention and opprobrium. And I think the Titans have the same core that they had in 2019 when they made their run. And if Patrick Mahomes doesn't pull off an absolute miracle before the end of the first half, they're in that Super Bowl. They still have Kevin Byard in the back end. They still have Jeffrey Simmons and a host of other defensive line talent. They still have Ryan Tannehill, who proved this week he can get it done. He had a bad game against New Orleans, no doubt. It happens. But 49-yard bomb to Chris Moore, 70-yard bomb to Treylon Burks.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't even get to King Derek the Diminisher Henry.
Nice.
Who is still there and has support now with Tajay Spears, who is going to be a name that people remember going forward.
No, listen, Chris, and you are definitely, making a very cogent. I see your opprobrium and raise you a cogent. You are making a very cogent argument for the Tennessee Titans, and I thank you. Keep calling in despite not being able to see us live. That's Chris in Hanoi, Vietnam. Again, I just love this show where I get to talk to people literally around the world, calling in to cape for the Titans and drop the word opprobrium in process. Big word alert. Okay. And so he's not wrong. He's not wrong. I chose the Titans to beat the Chargers because these are the games that they win. And then the Titans this coming week, their next game is at Cleveland.
Suddenly looks winnable now.
Vrabel, is going back to Ohio. Mr. Buckeye's bringing his Tennessee Titans. And that is, as we said on the Overreaction Monday podcast, Chris, that you can get where all podcasts are acquired. This is the ultimate take your heart pills and buckle up type game for the Tennessee Titans.
Yep, for sure.
And so, but I just think the Jacksonville Jaguars over the long run are more equipped to win the style of game that normally wins the day in the NFL right now, which is quarterback who can wing it around and weapons that create all sorts of problems, top of defense, underneath. They don't have the diminisher. But, the Titans, as we all know, they beat you up and they win ugly a lot of the time. And one of the reasons why you don't pay attention to them in many different ways is and I understand this sounds completely ridiculous, but it is the truth. In terms of winning franchises, as they have been more often than not over the last several years, which franchise has the fewest number of fantasy players drafted? Honestly, it's Derrick Henry, and then you can wait and pick up any Titan you want.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, this year was DeAndre Hopkins, but this is the metric by which you can measure whether folks are either A, paying attention to your team, B, interested in your team, or C, believes in your team. I mean, that's the honest truth. And the Titans are taking on the Jaguars twice. It's not to the back half of the season. And if Tennessee wins this game at Cleveland, like they take their heart pills and buckle up and show up to Cleveland and just go into this sort of make it a true slobber knocker, which it could possibly be in Cleveland. Unfortunately, no Nick Chubb. That would, They bring their Georgia running back, and Tennessee brings their Alabama running back, and let's go. And then after that, home for Cincinnati. Who knows? At Indianapolis. And then I'm called. That's the Jonathan Taylor return if he does want to come back and play for them. And then I'm calling that week six game in London. Tennessee and Baltimore. Before a bye. And then just look at all those hard-hitting games where they're just going to bring their hard hat.
Yeah.
So, thank you for the call in Hanoi, Vietnam, to remind us the Titans still exist in 2023 and have a good shot to win the division. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. When we come back, we'll talk about the Steelers, as I promised. And there's, speaking of fantasy, I don't know if it is fantasy football related in your world or just mere fantasy for the reality of Giants fans, but Brian Daboll did not shut the door on Saquon Barkley playing Thursday night.
Ooh.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show on a busy, fun Tuesday.
Because it's high on my damn agenda.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
My guest is Kim Zuckman. She is author of the book, There's No Cream in Cream Soda. I don't think I've ever really known the story of why they're called hot dogs.
There are so many legends about the name of the hot dog. When the Germans immigrants came over and they brought all of their sausages, they also brought their dachshunds. It really is because they kind of look like dachshunds.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Rich Eisen. You want an exciting and fast-paced podcast based on one of the most popular segments in the history of the Rich Eisen Show? Well, you got it. Overreaction Monday, hosted by me, Rich Eisen, and my compadre, Chris Brockman. And every Monday, we're going to dive into the headlines from pro and college football and overreact. Are you ready, Chris Brockman? Yay or nay?
Yes, Rich. No holding back, buddy. I'm coming for you.
Absolutely what you need to hear. Overreaction Monday, every single Wait For It Monday, wherever you listen. Back here on our show, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. We've got some phone calls. We want to talk about the Steelers, Brian Daboll. We've got the Ravens to discuss, top five performers of week number two, Lewis Riddick still to come. I think I have laid out the rest of our program. I've given you a roadmap. You know, I've got a first-class problem to bring up to you guys.
Oh, God.
You like these, don't you?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
Is the seat warmer in your car didn't work this morning?
Honestly, it could be anything.
The cooler. Cool. You know, when you're on
the seat warmer on this
when
morning.
You're on the phone, when you're on the phone and you can't talk, you know, and you send someone a voicemail, the iPhone gives you some choices to text them.
I can't answer right now.
Yeah, I can't answer right now. Yeah. Can I call you later? And they're so impersonal. And I hate sending those.
You can make your own, Rich.
Can I
make your own. I'm almost positive.
Can I make my own? Like, call, or just give me one sec.
Yeah.
Like, I'm busy, G.
I'm busy.
No, I'm busy, G.
Rich,
I'm not sending that to Susie.
Yeah,
like, you know,
sorry,
hey.
My dog.
Well, maybe not her, but
like, I'm working.
You know, like 99% of the time, if Susie calls, I will tell whoever I'm on the phone with, let me just call you back, and they understand, you know.
No,
this is real life potentially intervening. This is, you know, whatever intervening. So I can't just say I'm busy, G, or can I call you later to my wife?
Just
you know?
Say I have a job. I'm working. That's it.
Whoa. I'm not asking you for the editorial. I can work on the copy. Don't worry. That's my area of expertise. But I can actually create my own.
I'm going to look right now and
default,
see if you can do that.
You know?
I need to do that with people.
That's a good feature. If
give me
can.
A sec or whatever.
I think you can. Hang on.
Because just, I don't know. Do they come up with meetings like, okay, this is the default we're going to give people to send people to voicemail.
Why are you hitting the text back to them?
Because if you just send it to the voicemail, that's rude.
But just call them back.
Because you can tell. When you've been sent directly to voicemail, you can tell that sort of thing. Back here on our radio show, and we're debating about my first class problem. I don't like the messages that my iPhone gives me to tell people when I send them the voicemail. Can I call you later? What if I intend to call you back in a second, in 60 seconds?
What if I never intend to call you back?
Now that's a different message to send to people. I don't.
But what's that default? I'm not going to return this call.
I'll get back to you real quick.
I'm not returning this.
That's kind of like whether people can speak to you as a Cowboy fan because you can't let them in the club to talk to you about the Cowboys unless they've previously been, have their team previously go to a Super Bowl.
Which I know people laughed at that idea, but I've noticed other shows have picked up on
that. Hey, talk to your friend Leinart. Doing the velvet rope thing with the Heisman thing. Hey, that's Leinart. That's your boy Leinart. You can get a direct line to Leinart and say, hey, did you folks in Big Noon Sunday steal my idea of velvet ropes around my table?
I'm just saying, no one else had a velvet rope.
Until you did.
Until I did.
50 Cent did.
Got it. Well, that's true.
This is the tier system. So maybe, so do I respond to wait in line? Do I create my own default wait in line or stay at home like you were saying to people who can address you?
People who mean the most to you and you categorize them.
I just call you in a second. Can I create my own or I can't?
I'm looking. I don't think you can.
I think Mike is right.
What? You can't. What's up?
I don't know. I don't know. Mike, you're the beta tester Apple guy.
I looked and I can't. I don't think you can.
He owns the Apple stock. Can't you call up Tim Cook and say, what's up?
I got my new phone coming too. But yeah, it's like, no, I can't.
Okay.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm sorry.
Just didn't know.
My phone's old.
Let's talk about connecting in this way. Let's talk about the Steelers defense connecting in a way that they had to. Connect. And I understand there are some people who think that Minka Fitzpatrick was dirty in hitting Nick Chubb.
Are people really saying that?
Nate Burleson tweeted it at Ryan Clark. They're starting this whole thing. And, you know, of course, it's Nate being a sweetheart saying, I love you, but this is the way you're wrong about that, that this is not dirty. This is definitely something he could have. Like, so anyway, long story short, let's just place that aside for the moment, if you don't mind. And talk about just the football game. And that is, you know, in light of Nick Chubb going out. And, you know, this kid, Jerome Ford, ripping one off for 69 yards when this game seemed to be going in Pittsburgh's direction. The Browns couldn't do a damn thing on offense after Chubb went out. And then Ford rips one off. And the Browns score. And they're up. And the Steelers offense. My gosh. I mean, this is you ask any Steeler fan, and it's just like Team America, the line from Team America, blame Canada. Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator. This is, there must be, based off Team America, you know, is that South Park? Okay, blame Canada. Well, it's still the same thing. South Park movies, blame Canada. Okay.
Hire Brian Boitano.
They also want to, you know, say the words that they apparently told Hans Blix as well in Team America. If I can now...
Long story short,
is Steeler fans not happy with the offense and Kenny Pickett. And I know, Chris, you have been saying play more preseason, play more in the preseason.
I understand
what you're saying, but Pickett...
Did play, I understand.
And looked amazing. He had scoring drives every time.
Yeah.
Every throw he made to George Pickens was for either a first down or a touchdown. And we saw a lot of that last night when they needed it.
But
offensively, like, you know.
Can't run the football.
We just have not seen Najee Harris trucking people. Instead, you're seeing him, like, run around the end. And I'm like, why are we running him laterally? Shouldn't we just be going downhill? And Warren's the one that you start. Look, I'm not an X's and O's guy. But offense can eventually get with it. And you saw Pickett find Pickens. In a way you didn't see against the Niners, that's for sure. And this Browns defense, man, they can bring it. They are stout. They are speedy. They are salty. They are good. And sure enough, with a lead, it looked like the Browns were going to be 2-0 for the first time since Belichick was their coach and Nick Saban was their defensive coordinator in 1993 until Alex Highsmith, who started the game with a pick six, comes around the edge and sacks Deshaun Watson, creating the fourth turnover of the night. T.J. Watt scoops it up. Unbelievable. I couldn't believe Joe Buck said these words. First touchdown of his career? Really? I couldn't believe that one. And all part of a special night for T.J. Watt. Let me get this number correct. I have called it up. He is now the all-time all-time regular season sack leader in the history of this proud franchise that has bagged a lot of quarterbacks in its day. He now is the all-time regular season sack leader, passing James Harrison.
It was 81 and a half.
81 and a half. He was tied with James Harrison coming into the game. I would have thought it would be much larger.
That number seemed low to you, yeah.
Yeah, very.
Yeah, right.
But James Harrison did it in 177 career games with the Steelers. 89.
Wow.
For T.J. Watt. Just 89, one fewer than his uniform Jeez. Number, right? And so this is what T.J. Watt had to say about that achievement after the game.
I mean, I'd be lying if I said it wasn't special. Just like anything, it hasn't set in. I don't know if it will until I have time to really sit down and process what just happened tonight. But there's so many people along the way that have helped me get to where I am. I can't stand the individual awards of football because there's just, I mean, Debo himself helped me so much my rookie year. He didn't have to. No one asked him to, but he wanted to help me, and I appreciate him for that. So many of my teammates, coaches, mentors, my brothers, my wife's support, my parents. I mean, there's just so many people that go into it that it's not myself out there making the plays. I mean, there's just – I can't take all the credit.
Good for him. Just good people right there. He's referring to Debo, not Samuel, not the shoes Ocho Cinco has been owing me for a decade and a half, but that's the nickname for James Harrison. And so, good for him. But Steeler fans are still really concerned about the offense and how unsteady they looked in the first half and on third downs. It's just, it's tough to call it functional. This is Mike Tomlin after the game on how it looked in their first win of the season.
Mike, you talked about you get the big play early, and then get another big play late. Coming off the game that you did, is that an okay recipe for you, is get a couple big plays and kind of hang on in between?
We're not going to apologize for winning.
The latest Mike Tomlin.
Drop. That is amazing.
I do believe we have now made that into a drop.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
There you go.
Never should.
I have a feeling we have much usage of the latest Mike Tomlin drop.
Mike Tomlin. You're not going to apologize for winning.
They're 1-1.
Chasing down Jerry Jones in our drop rankings.
Next up is a visit to Vegas, side of this year's Super Bowl, and side of Sunday Night Football, and the home opener for Jimmy Garoppolo and the Raiders, who have been on the road at Denver, at Buffalo. And as we all know, this was the matchup on Christmas Eve last year that wound up going the Steelers' way, Pickett to Pickens to win the game, and then two picks of Derek Carr to put him in a New Orleans Saint uniform. Some old school stuff. So, hey, the Steelers were staring an 0-2 start in the face, tied with the Bengals. Instead, you know what? They're in second place right now with a tie break over the 1-1 Browns behind the Ravens. We'll talk about them in hour three. And the Bengals are sitting there at 0-2 with who knows about Joe Burrow. Zach Taylor, the head coach of the Bengals, slated to zoom into this program as our first guest Wednesday in advance of the Monday nighter against the Rams in Cincinnati. Part of the week three. Don't call it a doubleheader, two games at once on Monday night with the Bucs and the Eagles taking on one another and undefeated. How about them apples? Now then, Kevin in Rochester, New York, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Rich. This is Kevin from Rochester. I called in a couple of months ago, and at that time I was still kind of getting to grips with football, if you recall. And I don't think I realized how prolific you guys were, because at the time I called in, I was like, oh, this is a fun show from the Roku channel.
Thank you.
And then I go to watch the combine. Oh, hey, there's Rich Eisen. And I go to watch the draft. Oh, hey, there's Rich Eisen.
I'm unavoidable.
And I go back and watch old games. Hey, there's Rich Eisen. So a lot of respect for what you guys are doing. And I love the What's More Likely podcast.
Thank you very much. I know, first of all, it's Overreaction Monday. It's What's More Likely. Look, it's all good. We appreciate you watching and taking it all in. That's why people.com calls it an empire. Kevin.
Absolutely. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. But my question for you guys today, sticking with New York football, I know the Aaron Rodgers stuff is on the tip of everybody's tongue right now, but I'm curious what you guys think about the Giants. Despite their comeback win, I kind of feel like it's time to panic. What are your thoughts?
You can't say panic. It didn't look good in the first six quarters. That's to say the least. Thanks for the call, Kevin. I don't know if this is Brian Daboll playing games, because it looks particularly bleak for Saquon Barkley to answer the bell in a short week when he was furious coming off the field. That looks like when he was furious coming off the field, limping off the field, that had the looks of a world-class athlete who has been previously injured, excited to be healthy, and knows what just happened to him is something that is not simply going to require a pill or a shot to get over. It's going to require time and rehab. That's what he had the look of. Although Brian Daboll, maybe he's playing games. He had this to say about Saquon Barkley answering the bell in time for Thursday night's week 3 kickoff in San Francisco.
Safe to say he'd be out on Thursday night. I'm not saying that he's out yet. He's a quick healer. I'm not saying he's in, he's out. We're going to take it all the way up with him to Thursday, but he feels a lot better today. I just talked to him. So we'll see where we're at.
All right. Come on.
What?
Way to keep us in suspense. I love it. Look, prepare for Saquon and then deal with Matt Breida. That's the way I'm sure Steve Wilks and the Niners defense is looking at it. So, but no Saquon going into San Francisco for their home opener.
10.5-point favorites.
And then next up for the G-Men after that is a Monday nighter against Seattle. Geno Smith back in the hizzy. And I said those words. At Miami, then a Sunday nighter. Daboll back in his old digs in Western New York at Buffalo. Panic? I can't say yes now, but it's... Let's get Saquon back, please.
One and five?
Oh, boy. That's the latest on the Giants. Hour 3, Lewis Riddick is going to be joining us fresh back from Boulder and Carolina. Still sitting here on the old Roku channel.
Hey, can I point out that Susie's here and looks like she's got food in her hands?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, she's here. She's recording football.
Also, Rich, breaking news. Yes. Thanks, Brett Miner, for tweeting us this.
Yes.
If you go to settings, phone, respond with text, you can customize 3 of them.
Hold on a minute.
So you could call me, Rich. I already made one.
Write this down. Let me write this down.
Settings.
You don't want
settings.
Phone. Respond with text.
Yeah.
You can customize.
Dude, do you know the number of times where you go onto Google and it's like, just go here, and then you go to your phone and you don't see it there? I understand.
I just did it.
Let me just tell you, I understand when I say these things into this microphone, it ages me up. It does. Okay? I'd love to know.
The fact that you always tell us your age.
I do. I think I look good for it.
Well, yeah.
Certainly for somebody building an empire.
Hold on, I'm going to customize my first one.
I have one.
What's your first one?
I'm busy, my G.
Can't say my first one.
My first one is, what up, doe?
What up, doe?
What up, doe?
I can't say my first.
Is that D-O-H? How do you spell that?
D-O-E. Nope.
D-O-E?
Yeah.
Thank you for that spelling.
Not safe.
I don't think I'm going to do that.
How about this one? Do not call me again.
Oh, you know my second one has to be... about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys?
It don't even matter.
Which is what you say when you send somebody your voicemail?
I'm going to answer my phone like that
just
from now on, now that I think about
me.
It.
You don't want to know mine, Rich.
Waltz is listening.
We know, Mike, it's D something.
No.
Lewis Riddick is coming up.
Hey guys, it's Susie Schuster, and I am so excited for my new podcast coming out this fall. It is called What the Football with Susie Schuster and the Princess of Darkness, Amy Trask. If you're looking for a new podcast to listen to about jargon, heavy-legged waistbenders, this is not for you. We're going to have big girl conversations where we are going super deep to bring you weekly guests that you won't find anywhere else. It is What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask, wherever you listen.